Good evening. We'll be in Song of Solomon, but I would have you first turn to Ephesians 5. I'd like to read this as a preface. When we read the Song of Solomon, you read of a relationship between a man and a woman. I believe the Song of Solomon to be written as an allegory. I believe that that man is Christ, that woman is his church. We all know from earthly life that there is a very close, personal, private intimacy between a man and his wife. There are things in that intimacy that are never shared with any. Beloved, you ought to have a relationship like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be a love and intimacy between you and your Lord, which is shared by no other. It's shared by you. You are the bride. He is the bridegroom. That's why I read you this short portion in Ephesians. And with all the intimacy that is private in a marriage, yet the fruit of that intimacy is very conspicuous and seen when a husband and a wife who love each other are out in the world, are out before their family, out before their friends. That love and that intimacy is seen in the love of a man toward his wife, of a woman toward her husband. Beloved, that's how marriage is to be. We read of this in Ephesians 5, and as the marriage compact and covenant between a man and a woman continues for years, it should grow stronger and stronger, as your love and intimacy for Christ should. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. You notice that? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I'll stop there for a moment and let you know, when we begin in earnest in the Song of Solomon, you will see the imperfections of the bride. And yet, with all of her imperfections, you will see her love for the bridegroom, and how she yearns after him. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. The bride longs for the bridegroom. The bridegroom's love toward her is unwavering. But here we read of Christ, his presenting of his wife as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that's the way we'll be presented to him, brethren, without blemish and holy. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We're speaking of a marriage here, but notice as Paul passes verse 30 and 31, he says, "For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. We're united to Christ. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." One plus one equals one. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now back to Song of Solomon. I just wanted to read that as a preparation. One of the things that are notable about the Song of Solomon, as with the book of Esther, you'll never see any proper names of God in the entire book. You'll never see God's name mentioned. Yet you will see his presence and his love throughout. First and foremost, one of the prerequisites for understanding and entering into, we should enter into every portion of the Holy Scripture that we tread therein. But in this one, and really as with any, what's first and foremost a prerequisite is faith in the existence of the God of the Bible. faith in the existence of the God of the Bible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, that is God. For he that cometh to God in any portion of the Word of God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Beloved, my desire for you is that you would diligently seek this love relationship that exists between Christ and His church here. When we open up the Song of Solomon, as with any other portion of the Holy Scripture, we must believe that we are coming to God to be spoken to by God. The reward from God that I want you to want. Is that a phrase? I want you to want this here in the Song of Solomon, is that you would enter into and experience the felt presence, the love relationship that exists between Christ and His church. This love should not be foreign to you. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, this love should not at all be foreign to you. And yet you should know that this love is foreign to the world. You possess a love that is foreign to this place. It doesn't originate here. It originates in that other world. It originates from Christ. It originates in heaven. If you would be a partaker of this love, you must first be united in love to Christ. You must be married to Him. You must be the bride. You are the wife, beloved. I begin here with the loveliness of the love of Christ, because I know that we will be at times cold. We will find ourselves at times distant from our Lord, cold in our hearts toward Him. Regrettably, there are times like that. But when those times come, what do we do? When I find myself, do I shake myself? Do I realize that my heart is cold towards my Lord? Beloved, we must never be content with a cold and unfeeling heart when at times we may embrace another love. When your Lord seems to have withdrawn Himself from you. Have you ever been in times like that when it feels like the heavens are brass and it feels like you have no feeling and the felt presence of God is not with you? When you find yourself in such a dreadful place, do you retrace your steps and go back and see, where was it that I fell away from the presence of my Lord? If you remember the church at Ephesus, this was the one thing that the Lord had against her in Revelation 2. Look at Revelation 2:4. In all of her good labor, in all of her diligence, in all of her patience, in all of her hatred for sin, yet the Lord warned her of one major offense. He said, "You don't love me. You don't love me." They were doing everything right. She was commended for her works and her labor and her patience, her hatred of those that were liars. Revelation 2 and verse 4, you can see what the Lord said here. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Remember, that's a present active imperative term, means always be doing this. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. If we are at a distance from our Lord, if He is not our first love, we have fallen. We need to retrace our steps. We need to find our way back to His loving presence, brethren. We need to cast off every other love. We need to repent of our sin. Nothing cools the love of Christ in our hearts more than sin. Remember, in Matthew 24, when iniquity abounds, what happens? The love of many waxes cold. That includes in you and me, child of God. When sin waxes, love wanes. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Oh, that we would repent when we find ourselves in such a dreadful state of heart and mind. Back to Song of Solomon. If I could read chapter 5, verses 6 to 9 for you, the bride expresses her grief that the bridegroom, her beloved, had withdrawn himself. Notice in verse 6 in chapter 5, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. He was gone. My soul failed when he spake. Does that happen to us? I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. What does that do to us? Are we satisfied that we call and there's no answer? Are we satisfied that the presence of Christ is withdrawn, has withdrawn? Do we just go on about our day in that present dreadful state of mind? The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick of love. He had withdrawn, and she desired so to have his presence back, his person back. And then they asked, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? What is there so special about Christ? Ever been asked that? What is so special about your Lord? We won't read the rest, but you can see that she described him in intimate detail. In each of our hearts, there should be an ardent and fervent desire not only to love Christ more than before treading the pages of this book, but to know the love of Christ more than anything else. It's helpful to know, and I said this, that the Song of Solomon is written as a spiritual allegory. The design of God, I believe, is to uncover and reveal and to describe this special love relationship between Christ and His church to the eyes of our understanding. Remember, I said before that this love relationship should not be foreign to you. This is what should be foreign to you when it's not there in your life. That's what should be foreign to us, is when it's not there, is when He is withdrawn, is when we behave as if we don't love Christ or we're not the recipients of His great love. And this is why we must stop, we must not stop, rather, at revelation and understanding. I don't want to just understand the scriptures here when Solomon speaks of this love relationship between Christ and His church. I want to be a partaker of it. I want to be a participant in this love relationship. Understand that you are the bride, church. Her expressions of love toward the bridegroom should be your expressions of love to Christ. That's what should be in us, beloved. Look at Ephesians 3. It's right that we should go here because Paul speaks of this love of Christ that we should know. Beloved, I want this for you. I want you to want this in your own life. I want you to know the foreign feeling of when Christ has withdrawn himself, but that you realize it and you come back to him. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. I love it when the King gives a grant. That he would grant you. You know what that means? It's a grant. It's given. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Remember, we said in the beginning, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Or that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. What love? That agape love. That love that is in Christ. That love that God has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. That you may be able, verse 18, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know, it means to intimately enter into and experience the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in regard to what he just said, that you might know the love of Christ according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Beloved, that we might know that love. The Song of Solomon, I fear, is not frequented perhaps as much as other scriptures. But the Song of Solomon must not be less frequented than other rich and green pastures in the Word of God. If it were not to be enjoyed by the people of God, it would not be included in the canon of the Holy Scriptures. It ought to be read, it ought to be studied, it ought to be expounded, meditated therein, mused upon, greatly enjoyed by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to greatly enjoy this book. The Song of Solomon is gospel rich. In it, the special love between Christ and his church is described. And remember this, the love of Christ was commended and communicated toward you, black and dark and wicked sinner, enemy of God, when you were like that, not when you were lovely. God commendeth his love toward us, commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, his wrath, through Christ. Listen to the expressions of love from the God of Jerusalem. I'll have you go to Ezekiel. This is another place that I wanted to share with you. Listen to the expressions of love in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Ezekiel 16. The expressions of love from God to Jerusalem when she was full of her abominations and filthiness and her sin. Look at this. Ezekiel 16. Follow with me. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all or swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Thou becamest mine. What a beautiful picture of the love of Christ towards lost sinners. I don't know if y'all saw this, but there was a young lady who drove her car up to a dumpster a few days ago and took a newborn baby and just took it out of the car and threw it in the dumpster and drove off. What a horrible thing to see this. And I thought about this when I read this. But Christ found us like that, beloved. He found us like that. In this Song of Songs, you will understand Christ's wonderful, perfect, and unwavering love for his church. And you will see the church's ardent, yet imperfect, and at times deficient love for Christ. But as imperfect as your love to Christ is, nonetheless, beloved, this heaven-born love should be in you. It should be in you. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not, and they don't know this love. It's not in them. We love him because he first loved us. As I said before, this love is not of this world. It did not originate here. And yet you, child of God, should know the intimacy of this love, which is of that eternal, blessed other world and of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. You should know this love. Listen to me and understand this. The most intimate expressions of love which we read in the Song of Solomon between the bridegroom and the bride are, as I said before, they're secret, they're hidden, they're unseen. They're not experienced or felt by unspiritual, faithless, and carnal minds. You won't experience that love in that state of mind. Christ's constant and unwavering love and affection for his church, his bride, can only be experienced and enjoyed by faith, by fervent prayer, and obedience to his holy word. Let me translate that for you. Alone with Christ, united to Christ, married to Christ, intimate with Christ. This is where you'll find him, beloved. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is where you find our Lord Jesus Christ, in the pages of his holy word. This is where you may know and experience the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. This love relationship, if you would be brought into the king's chambers, as we'll read in a moment in chapter 1. If you would be brought into the king's secret chambers, then you must be in his holy word. You must enter through faith. You must enter deliberately and on purpose. Your expressions of love to Christ should be one and the same with the woman, the bride of the Song of Solomon. And turn back there and we'll conclude as I read chapter 1. And next time, Lord willing, we will in earnest begin in chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, the Song of Songs, the preeminent song. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor, the fragrance of thy good ointments, thy name, just the speaking of his name, beloved, gives forth a beautiful fragrance. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, the bride speaks, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, the bridegroom speaks, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. You can't help think of John chapter 12 when that woman broke that alabaster box and the fragrance filled the house and her love for Christ was seen in her tears falling down upon his feet as she wiped his tears with the hairs of his head. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Beloved, I pray that you will study this passage, read the Song of Solomon. I pray that you would ask God by His grace to allow you into the King's chambers, that you may experience the felt presence, the love of Christ, and that you would echo and emulate the desires, the warmth of the bride toward the bridegroom, that you would say with her, draw me and we will run after thee, that you would look to him as your first and preeminent love. Beloved, I pray that God will teach us about his love here, and that we would have a love yet, I know, imperfect, but yet a love that waxes stronger and stronger with every passing day. I pray that it would be in us, brethren, in each of us. Oh, for love to Christ to be in our hearts. Amen. Let's dismiss. Father, we pray and ask that you would help us, oh God, as we tread this holy ground. Father, I don't want to exalt this passage more than any of the other holy scriptures. And yet, Father, I pray that we would exalt every portion of thy holy word with the like fervor, Lord, with love to have more of Christ revealed to us. Oh God, help us, oh God, to see and to experience this love of Christ in us toward Christ, and to, Father, receive his love back with great thanksgiving. Oh God, we thank you so much, Lord, just for the privilege of being able to hold these blessed books in our hands and to open the pages and to have you unseal the words. Help us, Father, we pray. Bless, O God, these precious folks, these people, these saints, as they go to their homes. I pray that you would visit each one, Father, with, O God, the blessings of your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.